This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Our draft coverage continues. One of the most exciting drafts we've had in a while, with the Cowboys picking 12th. And joining us now is a friend of the show from several years ago. This might go back a decade now. Dane Brugler from The Athletic at DP Brugler on Twitter if you want to follow him and get access to his content. Dane, how the hell are you? Thanks for joining us.
It is. It's very good to hear your voice. It's. I think you're right. It's been about a decade where I've been coming on talking about draft, and so it's been fun and happy to be on with you guys again.
It's great to have you. And let's start with the player at the top of a lot of fans' minds there, in Ashton Jeanty. Do you think that would be the right use of that pick at 12?
It's certainly debatable. I don't think that's the answer to that question is not a right or wrong answer. There's plenty of reasons why you can make the case that Ashton Jeanty should be the pick. And there's some, ways that you can look at it from a different perspective and say, you know, we're better suited building up the roster at some of these other spots. And because this is a deep running back class, let's wait to the second round, third round, fourth round. And we still feel comfortable with the guy we're going to get at that point at the running back position. But, you're not going to feel regret drafting a talent like Ashton Jeanty at number 12. He's so talented running the ball, catching the ball, blocking. He can do everything. It'll be interesting to see how he tests next week at the combine. I don't think he's going to be some superstar Saquon Barkley necessarily, but he should test well. He should be, what you would expect from a guy you're considering drafting in the first round. Above all, it's, the character's off the charts. This is a guy that you talk to the high school coaches, you talk to his college coaches, and he had all types of offers this past offseason to go play for a team in the SEC, a team in the Big Ten. Upwards of, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that he turned down in order to go back to Boise State, because that's the program that believed in him coming out of Lone Star High School. So, there's a lot of reasons why you can look at Ashton Jeanty and say, man, this is a guy we want in our building, want on our roster, the way he can impact everybody around us. So I certainly think it's something that the Cowboys will be talking about extensively as they build that board.
You know, my concern at 12, after listening to Brian break it down for months now already, is, the potential of a high-risk, high-reward player at 12 and missing on the third round basically for 3 years in a row would be tough to overcome. Are there other players beyond Jeanty who you feel like are likely to be there and are almost as close to a sure thing as you can get?
You're talking about at any position?
Yeah.
This is a weird draft because at the top you have your Travis Hunters, your Abdul Carters. I think those are the top two guys in this draft. And then between, I would say, 3 and 12, I think is the next tier. And so, ironically, the Cowboys picking at 12, I think that they're in a spot where they should feel comfortable getting somebody from that second tier of players in this class, whether that ends up being Mason Graham from Michigan, a defensive tackle. You know, could he make it to 12? I know a lot of people don't think that he will, but, you know, he might get beat up next week at the combine because his arms aren't going to be super long. He's not going to be the best tester out there. The tape is phenomenal, but Mason Graham might not be one of those guys that is super traitsy, even though I think he belongs in the top five of this draft. You could look at a few of these defensive linemen, whether that's Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. Now, you talk about bust potential. He certainly has that, but Shamar Stewart is going to put on a show next week in Indianapolis. The guy's 280 pounds, and he might run in the 4.5s. That's how different this guy is. So, you know, offensive linemen, Will Campbell from LSU, Armon Membu from Missouri. It's an interesting draft because of the way things play out. One of the guys that I think will be on the Cowboys' radar who has a lot at stake at the combine is Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, who I think could be in play there at number 12. The tape was really good in 2023. This past year, he was banged up quite a bit, got beat a few times. The question will be just the pure speed. And I think the jumps will look good at the combine. I think the agility will look good at the combine. But what's the 40-yard dash? We know the combine or the cornerback position is a stopwatch position. And so will he be able to run a sub 4.45 in the 40-yard dash? And that's even if he chooses to run. We might not see Will Johnson run a 40-yard dash ever again, which I think would be a tell that, hey, those numbers aren't where he wants them to be to put a definitive number on paper for scouts.
I love the idea of the Cowboys taking a corner at 12. You mentioned Will Johnson, corner out of Michigan. How much better do you think he is than, say, Texas's Jahdae Barron?
Well, I think they're two different, you know, just like with receivers, you've got inside receivers, outside receivers, right? And with Barron, he played a little bit of everything in that Texas secondary, inside, outside, played some safety, played some in the box. But I think that his profile, the way that he's built, the way that he plays, teams are going to look at him as an inside player. He's like some teams have strict size thresholds in terms of length. He might be under 30-inch arms. And for a lot of teams, that's automatic X for an outside cornerback spot. So now on the inside, that might be a little bit different. So I like Jahdae Barron. I'm just not as nearly as high as some other people and talking about him as high as the top 15. I like Jahdae Barron into the first round, into the second round. I think, you know, he might get beat up a little bit just because the physical traits, even though the tape is good, the versatility is good, the physical traits aren't exactly what a lot of teams look for at the position.
Dane, it's good to hear your voice again. The wide receiver room, and I was watching Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft with some interest because of his, you know, him being a former NFL scout and the connections he has. He had Tet McMillan getting all the way down to 19 to Tampa Bay. Is he telling us something that we don't know talking to teams? Because it always seems like that McMillan would be a guy that everybody's talking about potentially in the top eight. As far as the first wide receiver off the board, but he gets him all the way to 19. Is there something we're missing there?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just the nature of this draft. Last year was pretty easy with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, but even a talent like Brian Thomas Jr. fell all the way to the 20s,
sure.
You know, which was a little surprising on draft day. So with a guy like with Tet McMillan, it'll be interesting to see what he runs next week at the combine, what his 40 is, because that vertical speed is kind of the question mark, right? Mm-hmm. He's a guy that is super loose. He's limber. He's a ball winner. He's almost like a Gumby-ish version of a T. Higgins,
sure.
Where speed's not exactly the reason you're drafting him, but you want to at least see a 4.52 number or something better than that just to kind of check that box and say, okay, well, he's not a burner, but he's not slow either. So I think there's going to be a lot of teams in the top 15 that I think are going to look at the trenches and say, let's get our offensive linemen, let's get our defensive linemen, and maybe, you know, pass on a few of these receivers. But McMillan's got a wide range. He could go as early as 5.
Right.
He could fall, into the early 20s. I don't think it's a huge shock just because of the nature of this draft. It's a it's just a really unique class this year.
Dane, I know on my board there's three guys that have injuries that I really, really, mm-hmm. the tape is good. When you talk about Josh Simmons from Ohio State, the tackle, yeah. Revell, the East Carolina cornerback, and then also, too, Benjamin Morrison, the cornerback from Notre Dame. How do you navigate those guys?
Yeah, and that's why the combine exists, right? So we can get these guys, get the exact medical info, and it's a big step in their evaluation, especially a guy like Josh Simmons, who, based on tape, he's a top 10 pick, right?
I mean, absolutely.
In October, he looked like he was going to be OT1, and then he had the non-contact knee injury, the patella. What does it look like at the combine in terms of his rehab, recovery? What's the prognosis long-term? Any long-term effects that teams should be worried about? Brian, I know you know this, but yeah. Just for the listeners, with the medicals, a lot of teams, they do it differently, but some teams, they do it with the numbering system. So if right. If the team doctor gives you a 1 or a 2, you're in good shape. 3, okay, borderline, but you're probably okay. If you're a 4 or 5, you're probably off the board.
Yeah.
And so, teams are going to look at these injuries and kind of gauge their interest. Every team's different with the risk. And, just like scouts, medical professionals give different opinions about how they view certain things, especially a serious knee injury like a patella. But I'm told that he's right now, he's ahead of course, he's ahead of where he's, was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And the plan is for him to have a personal pro day in April so he can work out for NFL teams before the draft. That's the plan right now. So that'll be interesting. And then, you mentioned the two corners, Siobhan Revell. And actually, I've got a phone call with him tonight just to kind of check in with him, see where he's at. But he's a super freaky guy. It's a bummer we don't get a chance to see him work out at the combine because of the ACL. But he's a guy that's overcome a lot. I think that he's still going to be in that top 35, top 40 mix as long as the ACL checks out okay. And then Benjamin Morrison's a little more complicated. This is actually his second hip surgery, lateral tear. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a corner that's not even 22 years old yet and is already on a second hip surgery. It's a little unique, not something you hear about very often. So what the medical feedback is on Morrison will be huge to ultimately where he ends up being drafted.
Yeah, and I'll follow up with that. I'm kind of thinking about 44, where the Cowboys mm-hmm. are. Is a possibility that one of or these three guys could all be, because of medical issues, be there where Dallas picks in the second round?
Yeah, I mean, back to the Dallas special, right?
Right.
That second
right.
round where
right.
you kind of take that risk, that Jalen Smith. And, it's always worrisome because if a guy like Josh Simmons makes it to you at 44, man, that's – teams pretty – they must be scared off because
sure.
the talent, again, it's top 10. So, but that's why you pay your medical team, the trainers, all that money, because that's – you trust their opinion and you don't deviate from that. It's not like – you don't go get another second opinion. You trust your team doctor, your team physician, and all the trainers to come up with a grade on the player. And if they say, there might be a little bit of risk, but we feel okay drafting the player, then okay, that's what you go with. That's how you build your board. And so it'll be interesting. I would be surprised if Simmons made it that far. I really would, just because there's too much talent and teams need offensive line help.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the rest of the league and their luck, the Chiefs will fall into them at 31 and, they'll be set at left tackle for the next 10 years. But Benjamin Morrison and Revell, I think those two guys would be possibilities there. I think it is a possibility that both those players could be available at 44.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you handicap the defensive tackle group? And I'm kind of talking about the one techniques here. You know, you mentioned, you know, Graham could probably play the one or the three, but how about Grant and Williams from Ohio State, Harmon from Oregon? How do you look at those guys as far as where do you think they might go? That's something that Dallas is clearly going to look at, probably even a three technique if Oso Digizua doesn't resign.
Right, and so if no Odighizuwa, then you look at, okay, who's the best penetrator as a three? And, I mean, Walter Nolan's probably the answer. You know, he has really disruptive qualities. He can win at the snap. The tape is a little bit up and down.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, would you think that's early at 12 for him?
I think it's way early. And the way you described it, I was really kind of nervous about that, but I believe in that room – they really don't care what you and I think. You know, we're going to do our work, but there, I feel like that they like Walter Nolan a lot better. The fact that Daniel Jeremiah had him at 12 made me think, like, all the players he could have taken for Dallas, he put Walter Nolan there at 12. And I think a lot of people think that's rich, but he's probably got that from somebody that, you know, hey, we really do like this guy.
Well, and I think that, you know, the exact way that you set it up, you know, Digizua, if he moves on, all of a sudden, sure, you know, they really need to find an answer there. And so I do think that theoretically it matches up. Nolan's also a guy that, you know, teams have to be comfortable with. You know, we mentioned the medicals at the combine, the character and the interview stuff. That's
right.
A big part of it. And Nolan's a guy that, you know, not everybody at Texas A&M talks glowingly
Absolutely.
About his time there. Now,
yep.
The feedback from Ole Miss, a little bit better, but, you know, still something that teams are doing extra homework on. Kenneth Grant could be in that mix. He's a guy that is 350 pounds, but he can move. I mean, the combine should be fun watching him work out. He could be in that mix. I like Tyreek Williams a lot as a borderline first-round guy. He against a run, he is just outstanding. But the strength of this defensive line class, it's just the depth. You know, you talk about Alfred Collins from Texas in round two, Shamar Turner from A&M, Darius Alexander, Toledo, and we can go on with the amount of defensive line talent that I think the Cowboys would be able to find at 44 as well.
It's Dane Brugler here of The Athletic with you in the G-Bag Nation. Do you think Tyler Guyton's good enough at left tackle? Are you wanting to continue to develop him, or how urgent would your, you know, process be right now when it comes to how important that spot is on your line?
Yeah, and I think it's a question mark right now. But for those of us on the outside looking in, but then also, you know, just trying to get a feel for how the coaching staff feels. You know, obviously the new coaches, but some carryover. And so how do they look at the nature of the line, and do they feel like an upgrade is needed after just 1 year? Obviously the Cowboys are a team that it's not like they drafted Tyler Guyton in the top 10. I mean, they traded back and still were able to get him where they did. So it wasn't like this was a perfect ready-made player out of the box. It was going to take some time, and there were certainly ups and downs on his rookie tape. So what's the feeling in the room about how much of a leash we're going to give him at left tackle before we say, all right, we need to go find some more competition? But, you know, offensive line depth is never a bad thing. So if you have a chance to go draft another tackle, it's not something that should be completely ignored, I don't think. And especially in a draft like this, where tackles, I think the tackle talent falls off pretty quickly. So if you want one, you almost have to take one at 12. And, you know, but there'll be some good candidates there. I mean, Will Campbell from LSU, we'll see if he gets out of the top 10. I love Membu from Missouri. To me, he's a guy that, at 20 years old, you feel great about him at guard or tackle. And it's kind of like Guyton, where there's going to be some bumps along the way, but you feel great about him for the long term, really helping your offensive line, and he can do it in multiple spots. So, yeah, there is a lot of different ways the Cowboys could go at 12, and I certainly think that offensive line is in that conversation.
Dane, in the last couple minutes we have you here, okay, I don't take Jeanty at 12. I'm going to assume that Johnson, Hampton, potentially Henderson could be gone by 44. Could you give me a back that you like, or backs that you like, if, say, Jeanty, Johnson, and Hampton and Henderson are all off the board, and you're probably looking at maybe a third-round situation?
So I feel like I'm higher on him than most, but I think Jordan James from Oregon is just one of the best running backs in this class. Like, he deserves to be talked about as he made my top 50.
Yeah.
So I think that he could still be available in the third round. And if he is, I really like how he would fit what the Cowboys want to be. He's not a home run hitter, but man, he might lead the league in doubles. I mean, he is the type of guy that finds success on every run. Success might not look like an 80-yard run, but it might look like an 8-yard run.
Sure.
And that's the type of guys you want, who they consistently get more than what is blocked for him. So, and Jordan James does that consistently. He can catch a ball out of the backfield. I'm a big fan of his, and I think that when it's all said and done, when we look back at his draft class, we're going to say, man, Jordan James should have been drafted earlier.
What kind of a cooker are you throwing down your Texas barbecue on these days, Dane?
Man, I stick to my Texas roots, even though I'm not in Texas anymore. So it's a lot of beef, a lot of, you know, the black pepper and salt go heavy. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out my window right now at nothing but cold, but snow, about 6 inches of snow. So it's a little bit different in terms of what I can do and what I can get away with up here at this time of the year. But man, I'm looking forward to April and May when things really warm up and I can get back out there, get the brisket going. And so it's definitely a staple of my pre-draft prep once we get to April.
I become a beef short rib guy myself. The brisket's too much for the family. I know you know how that is.
Mm, yeah. Oh, no, that's do you do the rack or just the separate ribs?
No, those dino bone. Yeah, the separate ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are little morsels of heaven, right?
Oh,
I mean, you couldn't get them cooked right.
Yeah.
Do you sauce them or just do seasoning?
Yeah, just season it. Wrap them after about four hours, and I find the morsels to be more consistently delicious as well. And it's, for whatever reason, they're harder to screw up than a brisket.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Absolutely. And I don't know, I know my grocer doesn't always carry them, but when I find them, I always grab them, because they go quickly, because I think the secret might be out on those things.
No doubt, dude. Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Dane. We'll be following your content at DP Brugler on Twitter. Dane Brugler, draft guru. Salute to you, sir, man. Have a great draft season.
You too. Take care, guys.